The word today is eternity. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. All people will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. The unbeliever and unrepentant will go eternally to hell. Believers confessing Christ as their Savior will go to heaven. Sin must be forgiven in order to get to heaven. Jesus gives us forgiveness, thereby giving us the gift of heaven. Here from our archives to guide us further in this study is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Eternity.
Today we're going to be talking about heaven. You know, the Christian church has almost always taught, with one exception, there is the exception of the Roman church, which through some philosophical ideas and trying to answer some questions many hundreds of years ago, came up with a place called purgatory. Well, that's not biblical, and it's not true, and yet the church in the Roman denomination sometimes teaches that and says that's maybe a place that other relatives and friends can pray for you and kind of get you into heaven if they work at it long enough. It's such a terrible teaching. It's too bad it's out there, but the truth is the Bible teaches there are two places, heaven and hell. There's no intermediate place, and there's no place in between. Now, those that go to heaven are those that have been forgiven. The only way to get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. You cannot slowly think through it and finally get there. It is something that is God's precious gift through His Son, Jesus Christ. The thing that keeps people out of heaven is sin. There will be no sin in heaven, and as a result, sin that is not forgiven, that's the unbeliever, the person that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that will be hell. That is what hell is. It's eternal. It's forever. It's with the devil, the great accuser, our Satan, who tries to get us away from God. That fallen angel from heaven, you know how that all came about if you know your scriptures. And hell is filled with unbelievers and will always be filled with unbelievers. The believers who trust in Christ and have their sins forgiven will have eternal life. You know, Jesus Christ said there is no way that you can get to heaven but through me. And he talks about heaven. Take a look at the 14th chapter of St. John, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. It's filled with so many references to heaven. It's a beautiful chapter when you're talking to someone about heaven and want to explain to them what heaven is. Turn your Bible open to John, the 14th chapter. For instance, verse 2 and 3, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." This is Jesus referring to the fact that on the day of judgment, when he returns to earth, he will come back, and the dead will rise, and he will take those who are the believers to himself in heaven. The unbelievers, as we said, are judged and in hell because of their refusal to accept Christ as their Savior. So take a look at in the same chapter, John 14, verse 6. Jesus is again speaking, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now there you have it. There shouldn't be any debate or argument about how you get to heaven. There it is, right there. There is no other way except through Jesus Christ. And I believe if we would keep our witness that simple to the world around us, it'll be ultimately everybody that has ever been born or will ever live, ultimately the decision, whether it's heaven or hell, is going to be based upon what they believe about Jesus Christ. If they reject Jesus, do not accept him as their savior, that's what hell is, and where hell will be filled with those people. If they believe Jesus Christ came to die on the cross in their place, and through his suffering and death, because he is God, he has earned for them the forgiveness of all sin. If they believe that and confess Jesus as their personal savior, they will have eternal life. That's what heaven is. That's the place that God has prepared for us eternally, where we will live with him forever. There is no death in heaven. There is no sorrow. There is no pain. It is God's beautiful gift of salvation to all who believe in Jesus Christ. You know, this John 14 is such a beautiful section. I don't want to have you turn away from John 14, but I do want to give you another reference that you can study this a little more on your own. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, there are seven parables, beautiful parables, and they describe the kingdom of heaven, which is sometimes called the kingdom of God. Same thing, it's just a synonym for that. And there are some parables there. It begins with the parable of the weeds. That begins at verse 24 of Matthew 13. But there are some other parables there. The parable of the hidden treasure. You kind of have to go all the way through the 13th chapter of Matthew. I like the parable of the pearl, which begins at verse 45 and 46. It's not a very long parable, but it's very beautiful and describes very carefully what heaven is like and the treasure of heaven and so on. It's a beautiful reference. There's a parable of the dragnet. The bad fish were those that had to be thrown away and so on. There is the final judgment, which is revealed here, beginning at verse 41 of Matthew 13, Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, and chapter 25, verse 31. These are all references to the kingdom of heaven and a beautiful list of it. Now, maybe we could use some synonyms here, because you're going to be reading your scriptures, and as you read, I want you to recognize these as synonyms, as words that describe heaven. For instance, in John 14, Jesus, as you're reading here in John 14, calls it his Father's house. That's another name for heaven. In Hebrews chapter 4, it's called the Sabbath. Beginning with Christ is the way it's named. It's where Christ is, 2 Timothy. Eternal inheritance, 1 Peter in the first chapter refers to heaven as an eternal inheritance. It's also called, in the second letter of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, it's called eternal kingdom. And, of course, even a reference in Luke, the 16th chapter, to Abraham's side. You are by Abraham's side. The Old Testament people were saved, too, if they believed in the coming Messiah. Another reference, a week ago I was talking to you about the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ. We were looking at the fifth chapter of Galatians at that time. The chapter immediately before the fifth chapter, Galatians 4, calls heaven the heavenly Jerusalem. I love that. What a beautiful picture. It's God's place. It's God's residence. And in 2 Corinthians, when Paul is writing to the Corinthian church in the fifth chapter, he calls it our heavenly home. It is where we're going. It's the true place that we're going to be living forever. You know, earth is just kind of where we're passing through here. It's kind of a pre-preparation, or whatever you want to call it. We're here for a while. Short time, goes by very quickly, but eternally we will live with God in heaven. That's if we are believers in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is God's gift. You know, there are so many places in the scripture that talk about that. John, the 10th chapter, would be one of those that you could read. In the 10th chapter, also Galatians 5, all these references to the fact that heaven is God's gift to us. This is the gift of eternal life. There is, in John, the 3rd chapter, by the way, John 3:16 is a verse that I think every Christian probably knows by heart. John 3:16, there's another similar verse to that, completely identical almost, is John 3rd chapter, verse 36. So don't only memorize John 3:16, but also John 3, verse 36. These are such beautiful references, and it's a marvelous privilege to know that we are going to be with God in heaven. There will be a great multitude before his throne. We read about that in the Revelation of St. John, the 7th chapter, where he talks about the multitude before the throne of God. We're going to be there, and the angels of God will be there. The good angels, of course, the evil angels are with the devil in hell. The future, therefore, for a child of God, and I'm not just talking because you have your name on a membership roll somewhere. This has to be something that is in your heart. It's a relationship you have with Jesus Christ. It's real. It's genuine. You trust in him for your salvation. Those people do not fear death. We might fear the uncertainty of death, like how will we die? Will there be pain? What will happen to our loved ones? There can be some fears surrounding it, but the death itself is only a matter of a fraction of a second when we pass from this earthly life to our heavenly life with God eternally, and there's no fear there. The beauty of heaven is that we have a positive guarantee from God himself who keeps his word. There is a heaven. He will take us there. It will be eternal. It will be total peace. There is positively no doubt in the life of a Christian that we will have our whole eternity with God in heaven. So the real test of faith then is whether or not you believe that your sins are taken away, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world, and he loves you. He's going to raise you from the dead. He's proven he has the power over death. He rose from death himself, and he will raise us from the dead, and we will live with him forever in heaven. That's the gift of eternal life. And that's the choice that every child of God makes, to live with God forever, serve him here on earth, because we will praise him eternally before his throne in heaven without end. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.